Alrighty, I think we're good to go. In 3, 2, 1. Hello everyone and welcome back to the Generic Live Show. This is the Generic Live Show for the 17th of December 2014. I'm Dale Campbell, delivering your weekly dose of genericness from around Australia and the world. That's right. And the Australia bit will be key to this week's episode. Key, I tell you. And G Plus is just telling me that GLS is now starting, so yeah. Take that for what you will. It is episode number 12, and it is that. And I cannot. This episode is going to be a bit weird. But what weirder way to start it off than to look at some of the geeky headlines? Five of them, in fact. Let's get started. And finally, the wait is over. The long, long wait. For Hearthstone to be on Android has finally come to an end, as Blizzard's addictive card dueling game lands on Google's operating systems today. Hearthstone, which is a virtual trading game based on characters and lore from Blizzard's World of Warcraft, Warcraft franchise, sees players battling head to head in online matches, deploying powerful minions and spells in bid to deplete their enemy's health and claim victory. If, in case you didn't know what Hearthstone was, CNET speaks to Hearthstone developers and about creating story moments and unexpected surprises and villains who act like jerks, because, that's a thing. The game requires an internet connection to play, and it's free to download, but features optional in-game payments. It arrived on iPad in April and hit the 20 million download mark in September. For now, you'll need a tablet with a screen that measures at least 6 inches and is running Android version 4.0 and later. Canada, Australia, and New Zealand are the first countries to get the new Android version, but a global rollout will be happening over the next few days. So check the Google Play Store and see if your nation has been granted access. Blizzard has also started a smartphone version of Hearthstone for Android mobiles and the iPhone. Fun fact, I played a bit of Hearthstone in my time. I don't know why I've gone off it, so. And it's on the iPad, and I have an iPad sitting right here. It's not doing anything for GLS, but I usually have it open with the drive, but I've got two screens going tonight. In other news, in local news, it's very local centric this episode. I do apologize for that. I'll explain that later. Telstra has been hit with a 102 Aussie dollar fine by the ACCC, that is the Australian consumer watchdog, pretty much, for misleading advertising relating to an ad for an iPhone 6. The advertisement was used to promote its phone and plan bundle for the device, but the ACCC deemed it misrepresented pricing to consumers. While Telstra has paid the fine, it said it was quote unquote surprised that it was pulled up for what it called legitimately compliment. A compliant ad or compliment ad. The telco was issued with the infringement notice and penalty in relation to an A3 advertisement that appeared in the Age newspaper on September 27th, 2014. This news article was sourced and written yesterday, as in the 16th of December. An ad showed a large image of the iPhone 6 with a featured price of Australian $70 Australian per month. However, the ACCC took issue to the fact that an additional cost of $11 per month was only displayed in the fine print, but predominantly displaying a $70 Australian per month price tag for a deal that would actually cost Australians $81 per month. The ACCC said Telstra was quote unquote misleading customers. You know, that could be interpret that how you will, but they did still, and I'd have seen pictures of the advertisement that they are talking about, and they have actually, in fact, did say plus $11 device hire or device handling cost or device payment in the fine print. So they do actually say that on the ad itself, not just a hidden contract thing. On the ad itself, it does say that. So there you go. In strange news? Question mark. When the National Collegiate Athletic Association, or the NCAA, involves itself in regulating over 1,000 sports team, organization, and athletes, it's normally a big deal, especially when deal makers are looking to offer all kids of incentives for the best young players. Then there's South Missouri State, whose former assistant coach has violated the rules by talking to recruits in a quiet session, in addition to offering water bottles and shirts for a local baseball camp. The final disgraceful act? Assistant coach Ben Coombs left the school this summer after violations happened. He apparently gave the recruits the login details to his Netflix account, which meant they could use the streaming service without paying. The Daily Dot notes, compared to the allegations of fraud against the University of North Carolina, accused of fraud classes for more than 18 years, and the occasional Airbud visit on someone else's account didn't seem quite that bad. It's kind of bad. But yeah, proxpn.com, Geek20 at checkout. That's all I have to say on that one. To Apple News. Apple was found not guilty today of an anti. I'm sorry, let me try that again. Apple was found not guilty of anti-competitive conduct on Tuesday in almost a 10-year-old antitrust case, alleging the company's harmed customers and quenched digital music industry inclements when banned competing music stores' song from playing on the iPod music player. In other words, prohibiting people who bought or downloaded music from other sources. Exactly 2 weeks since the start of the trial, an eight-person jury redeemed the verdict in less than 4 hours of deliberation. Ultimately, the jury had decided an update to Apple's iTunes Music Store rolled out in 2006 constructed so-called genuine product improvements. iTunes 7, as it is called, introduced video, album art, and numerous other features for the desktop software and its companion iPod software. But the release also contained a security feature that disabled a consumer's iPod if it detected songs from competitive music stores that had reverse engineered Apple's FairPlay Digital Rights Management Technology, or DRM. That technology restricted how digital music file could be played based on the terms of Apple's deal with record labels. The updated software deemed customers could restore their iPod to factory settings, effectively deleting those competing music stores' songs. Under the Sherman Antitrust Act, a genuine product improvement cannot be considered as anti-competitive, even if it harms competitors' products. Quote, a company has no general legal duty to assist its competitors, including by making products introbrital, licensing to competitors, or sharing information to competitors, end quote. Judge Yvonne Gondelez Rogers of the U.S. District Court in Northern California told the jurors Monday, prior to the closing arguments. The jury found that Apple's iTunes updates were indeed a genuine product improvement. They have found that Apple's did not deliver such improvements. The question then would have been whether Apple had a monopoly over the digital music markets, and if they did, whether Apple acted anti-competitively to maintain its position. There you go. The more you know what Apple getting away with being, you know, Apple being People saying Apple's not anti competitive. What? Welcome to the end of 2014. Now, this memo is no clownfish. In fact, it's not even real fish. Fish! It's a prototype of the Navy drone that has been tested in the waters of Joint Exploratory Base in East Virginia Beach. This thing is pretty cool. It's also called Ghost Swimmer by the Navy. Silent Nemo was designed to look and swim like a fine blue tuna, like it is. Call it that, and it'll do what you tell it to. It's at least 5 foot long and around weighs in at around 100 pounds. For us Australians, we'll have to do that conversion with a calculator because it's American, sorry, and I'm lazy. It's actually fairly light. Its Atlantic Ocean Perform counterparts can weigh nearly 10 times that amount. The Navy's anti-raid innovation cell says they've had to, quote, take 1,000 years of evolution and try incorporate that with a mechanical device, end quote. A tall order, to be sure. They were busy, quote unquote, re-engineering nature and planned to have the drone ready for deployment in the next 12 months. The results were impressive. Nemo's rubbing-looking skin and subtly rilling fins look an awful like the real thing swimming through the water, and these photos are impressive. So just Google that and you'll be like me and find photos of it. So there you go. That's the look at the headlines. Alrighty, let's take a break, shall we? Let's take a drink break, shall we? Let's take a drink break. And thank all of the people who sponsor the Geek.io network and help this show keep its legs, realistically. But you can be that person instead of the fine folks, and they are fantastic, particularly founding affiliate members of the ChefWonder network, Tweaked Audio on ProXPN. There is a whole list of companies that support the Geek.io network at geek-io.net/support. But you, yes, you, sorry, wrong camera today, can be my boss. Go to patreon.com/geek.io for more information on the Patreon. Now, look, full disclaimer. And I have been advised to say that our discussion point, what images we're about to describe, are quite graphic in nature. Now, I've been told to say that just in case some people complain about the maturity of these images that I'm about to describe. I'm going to lay down on the table. Listen to discretion is advised. If you don't want to, then this our discussion point is quite a politically charged story and does contain some images that could be upsetting to some people and could be described as graphic. So, because we are going to go into what exactly happened. So, listener discretion is advised. I've been advised by my legal team to say that out loud. So, please do take precaution when I just do describe this story. I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to read it. I'm not going to inject anything from mine until I finish reading and playing a clip from the Prime Minister. So, there was a siege that took place in the Sydney Central Business District on Monday, which ended after 16 going into the 17th hour in the Sydney Central Business District at the Lindt Cafe at Martin Place. Heavily armed police in Australia, this is according to Time.com, stormed a Sydney cafe where a gunman held more than a dozen people hostage early Tuesday, ending in a tense standoff that lasted more than 16 hours and saw at least three people dead, including the gunman. Police could be seen entering the cafe, about 2:30 a.m. local time on Tuesday, after a gunman hailed 17 people in the central business district of Australia's largest city. Gunshots could be heard ringing out on video feeds from the scene, and local media reports indicate injuries were sustained by both hostages and police. Gunman died in the police raid, authorities said, and he identified as Manhurin Mourns, an Irish-born man and a self-described clunic who had been with the authorities' radar in the past. A chaotic scene unfolded as the police raided the cafe, with hostages running outside and an officer carrying at least one of the ailing hostages. New South Wales Premier Mike Birrell said the gunman had carried out horrendous, vicious attacks. Quote, "We are a peaceful society, which is the envy of the world, he said at a televised news conference. "Today, we must come together like never before." Now, I'm going to play for you. Where is it? I'm going to play for you the address that the Prime Minister did on Tuesday, if it'll work. Here we go.
Early this morning, the Martin Place siege ended with the death of the lone gunman and, tragically, the loss of two hostages, innocent Australians caught up in the horror of yesterday. Five other people, four hostages, and a New South Wales police officer have been injured. State and Commonwealth agencies are investigating. Understandably, there is a lot of speculation, but it will take time to clarify exactly what happened in Martin Place and why. What we do know is that the perpetrator was well known to state and Commonwealth authorities. He had a long history of violent crime, infatuation with extremism, and mental instability. We know that he sent offensive letters to the families of Australian soldiers killed in Afghanistan and was found guilty of offences related to this. We also know that he posted graphic extremist material online. As the siege unfolded yesterday, he sought to cloak his actions with the symbolism of the ISIL death cult. Tragically, there are people in our community ready to engage in politically motivated violence. The events in Martin Place also show that we are ready to deal with these people professionally and with the full force of law. I want to thank the New South Wales Police and all the other agencies involved for their professionalism and courage. Yesterday, Premier Baird showed great steadfastness, and Sydneysiders can be proud of their calm during what was a very difficult and testing day. Australians should be reassured by the way our law enforcement and security agencies responded to this brush with terrorism. There is nothing more Australian than dropping in at the local cafe for a morning coffee, and it's tragic beyond words that people going about their everyday business should have been caught up in such a horrific incident. Our hearts go out to all of those caught up in this appalling incident and their loved ones. On behalf of all Australians, I extend my sympathy to the families of the two hostages who died overnight. These events do demonstrate that even a country as free, as open, as generous, and as safe as ours is vulnerable to acts of politically motivated violence. But they also remind us that Australia and Australians are resilient and we are ready to respond. Now, I do intend to go to Sydney early in the afternoon to be further briefed by New South Wales Police and other security agencies. I also intend to say thank you as best I can in person to New South Wales police officers and others involved in this appalling incident. I'll do more media then and I'll take questions at that time when we do have a better idea of exactly what has happened. Plainly there are lessons to be learned and we will thoroughly examine this incident to decide what lessons can be learned. But I do want now, in the hours immediately after the conclusion of the siege, to offer these words of comfort to those caught up in it and reassurance to the Australian people.
The flickering here in the background's cameras, by the way. Yes, we're still in Australia and don't have digital cameras at this point. In any event, it was a horrible scene, and we bumped a topic. We're just going to save a topic that we had for this week and save it for the best of 2014 topic. By then, it'll be a bit aged, but still reflects 2014. And some of you might be going, well, this is not really geeky related. I know, but it's a horrible event that happened, and people need to be made aware of it. So that's why we're covering it here on the show. Coming back from the clip, actually, and I do apologize for the robotiness. My internet's not the best. So what exactly do we know? Well, we know, as we've covered before, and this is according to the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, that Harun Munis took 17 people hostage at the Lindt Chocolate Cafe at Martin Place in central Sydney at around 9:45 a.m. Australian Daylight Time on Monday. Two hostages and Munis died at the siege when it ended in gunfire at around 2 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time on Tuesday. The two hostages killed were 38-year-old barrister Katrina Dawson and the cafe manager Tory Johnson, aged 34. Four other people required hospital treatment for non-life-threatening injuries, including a New South Wales police officer. Police stormed the building shortly after 2 a.m. A number of gunshots and yelling were heard from inside the cafe. Munis was on bail for a string of violent offences for being an accessory to a member of his ex-wife, who was, full disclaimer, one of the hostages in the cafe. Munis's former lawyer, Manny Condits, said that Munis was an isolated figure likely to be acting alone. Munis had a long history of violent crime, infraction with extremism, and a mental instability, according to Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Police had been in direct contact with Munis during the siege. A number of hostages had been seen with their hands pressed up against the glass of the cafe windows. Five people fled the cafe Monday afternoon who had escaped. A black flag with Islamic creed written on it in Arabic was displayed in the windows early in the siege, but the flag was not the one used by the Islamic State. Hostages have contacted media outlets, including the ABC, during the siege. Police, however, has requested that the media do not reveal the contents of these calls. But here's what we don't know, and here's what the investigations will be centered around in the next couple of days. The exact circumstances of the final police raid and how one of the hostages died, because the other one has been revealed and we'll get to that in 2 seconds, the complete motivations or aims of Mornus, and what weapons or explosives Mornus had access to during the siege. Those three things, we don't know. Now, let's get to what happened as soon as the siege started to happen. A hashtag appeared on Twitter by username @SirTeresa. If you reg take the number 373 bus @B/White, I'm not sure what that's meant to mean, Calgary/Martin Place, wear religious attire and don't feel safe alone. I'll ride with you. At me for schedule. Maybe start a hashtag. What's in hashtag I'll ride with you? This hashtag blew up, reporting 90,337 tweets in the December 15th period. Many more since, mind you. Hashtag I'll ride with you is an amazing incentive. I live in Bondi Junction and work in the city. Happy to help where possible, says Deck Head. Those living in the city of Casey who feel unsafe, I'll ride with you. Message me and we'll work something out, says @PenNasword. @OzzySavrick, quote, I was going to drive to work tomorrow, but seeing outpouring of support changed my mind. Hashtag, I'll ride with you. Thank you. See you on the train. There's a number of tweets in a link that we have put in the show notes that use this hashtag, and it is the most Australian thing I think anyone could be in a situation like this. Just support, just coming together as a nation in support of this. Just supporting each other in a time where it's needed most. There you go. And one of the unknowns, was how did they actually die? And by the way, just one more point on the hashtag. See, hashtags can be useful. So it's bringing and supporting people and being there for people when it matters most. So that's what matters most, and a hashtag brought everyone together in a central place. And I'm getting a hangout message. Oh, okay. I don't think it's relevant. Okay. So one of the unknowns is how did the hostages die? According to the Sydney Morning Herald, and mind you, other reputable news sites, other than Sydney Morning Herald, but Sydney Morning Herald. And this is the article that really, really hit home for me. Tony Johnson's final selfless act embodied so much of the way he lived. That line. Alright, I'm fine. That line alone just got to me. Anyway, I don't know why that line hit me so much. In his last moments, the 34-year-old manager of the Lindt Chocolat Cafe tried to wrestle the gunman. The gunman. Sorry, tried to wrestle the gun out of the hands of Nan Harmon Morris as hostages faced the 17th hour. So, quote, "To me, that's 100% Tory," end quote, said the restaurateur Peter Mentes, who worked with Mr. Johnson at the Adia Bar and Restaurant in Darling Harbour until 2012. Quote, "He's an extremely selfless person. He always put his staff first. He was the leader in all senses of the word. He was very proud. He was a very proud person and very ambiguous person, and a mentor to a lot of staff." That's how he died, unfortunately. And he died because he tried to wrestle the gun out of the hands. Unfortunately, it went off on him towards the end of the ra towards the end of the siege. He saved all of those people because and the gun went off on him and saved all those people. Mr. Johnson's family released a statement expressing both grief and pride. Quote, "We are so proud of our beautiful boy, Tory. Gone from this earth, but forever in our memories. It's the most amazing life partner, son, and brother we could all wish for." End quote, the statement said. The statement also said, quote, "We feel heartfelt sorrow for the family of Katrina Dawson. We'd like to thank not only our friends and loved ones for their support, but the people of Sydney, Australia, and those around the world reaching out for our thoughts and prayers. Let us pray for peace on the earth," end quote. Friends and family were comforting Mr. Johnson's partner, Thomas Zinn, at the apartment the couple owned in Redfern, a suburb of Sydney. It was understood that Mr. Johnson's brother was flying from Sydney to Canada at the time, which there were some people watching from Canada as Marcia McKill was a Canadian, and she speaks out on the matter, but we don't have time to cover that on the show because this is just one of those huge stories that we could go on for days. We could do a whole episode on unpacking this story. The thing that you need most is that someone turned a gun on themselves to save someone and end the siege. So, we have comments. Yeah, it's a heartbreaking story, but Tony Abbott announces an urgent review, including looking at Man Harun Munis' access to firearms, and there will be more investigation to kind of figure out who ne well, not necessarily who, but like, answer those unknowns. What was his motives? How did he have access? Was he even granted citizenship? So, but this is definitely a developing story, and it's sad and it's just heartbreaking. But coming together and supporting each other so no one gets hurt using that hashtag. It's just the most beautiful thing that I saw, and I knew, yes, that's the thing I'm talking about on GLS. That's what I'm talking about. And funnily enough, not funnily enough actually, but this is the final GLS for before Christmas. As we won't be on until after Christmas due to, you know, next week being Christmas Eve. And be damned if I'm going to get to a show on Christmas Eve, because things are just going to be that busy. But it's just a time of heart. When times are tough, sorry, getting a bit shaken up again. When times get hard, we all just have to come together. Support each other. We're all human. And that's what matters most. At a time like this. Whoa, that's heavy. Wow. I don't know where to go for here. I guess we're out of here. I'm going to put the links to the articles that I got my scripts from in the show notes. There's 5 links in there, including a map for those people who are not familiar with Sydney, the Sydney Central Business District, to kind of help map things out. This is the final show before Christmas, and I'd like to wish all of the generic live show listeners a Merry Christmas. Yeah, ending on this one, but hey. Next week will be a live show, but it will be on the 27th of December. Time is unknown at this stage, but that's a Saturday due to Christmas Day and Boxing Day holidays, which won't have any programming on them. And also the best of 2014. You can send your suggestions in. Please comment on stories that we should cover in the Best of 2014 show. We are collecting things for that show already. And that's going to be on the 2nd to New Year's Day. And New Year's Eve, I guess. And New Year's Day. And we'll be back to regular programming on the 7th. Where you can find us? You can find us on the Chef Wonder and Geeko podcast networks. You can thechefwonder.squarespace.com/GLS, geek-io.net/GLS, gplus.to/GLS, youtube.com/genericliveshow, and the Patreon again is patreon.com/geek-io. There's a door. Alrighty, everyone. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next time. Bye-bye.
Listening to a proud member of the Chef Wonder Podcast Network. To find out more about this and other shows, visit chefwonder.squarespace.com. Hope you like 2014.
You have been listening to a part of the Geek.io Podcast Network.
Loud noises!
Visit us at geek-io.com for all of our great shows.
The pressure is building slowly, inexorably inside me. Oh my.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's bad for you. Go figure out how it works.
Geek.io. Copyright 2014.
I want to get out of here. I want to leave this place right now.
You're listening to Terrible Tuesday Movie Night, where we watch bad movies to save you the pain.
I am Catwoman. Hear me roar.
Join us every single Tuesday as we pick a horrible grade movie and rip it apart with your host, Dale Campbell.
Yes, and the one with the guy with the hockey mask.
Right here on the Geek.io Master Feed.
Anyway, how is your sex life?